The text that I want to share with you, dear friend, this evening is found in the psalm that we read, Psalm 107, and four times our text appears in the reading. Psalm 107, verses 1 to 31, four times. So I hope you won't forget it. So that when I come at the end of August, as I believe I'm due to, that you'll come and tell me the text that we had this evening. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. A lovely text, isn't it? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Four times, verse 8, verse 15, verse 21, and verse 31. And the text begins with a little word of two letters. Oh! Remember Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones saying on a number of occasions, God waits to hear the O's of his people. Oh, that men would praise... You see, I don't feel like praising God tonight. It's hot, it's stuffy. You might say, I don't feel like praising God. I've got nothing much to praise him for, haven't you? Really? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. This little word, oh. The psalmist is concerned that in this psalm of praise, which is remembering and celebrating God's goodness and God's providence to his people, as you read through this psalm, there's so much that speaks of God's goodness, God's mercy, God's loving kindness. And then there comes in this great, oh, oh Jerusalem, as we saw this morning, oh Jerusalem, oh that men would praise the Lord. In this little word, there's yearning. The psalmist feels constrained that others may join in with him in praising God. He doesn't want to be alone in this great ministry. There's delight. There's delight. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. But I would dare to say, dear friend, I believe that there's also a spirit of agony. Agony. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. If only we had more saints today praising the Lord. You know, dear friend, listen. This is one of the best ways, I believe, that you and I can witness in these days for the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, yes, I'm a Christian, I love the Saviour, but I find it so hard to speak to people and to share the gospel. Well, dear friend, take heart. Remember this text. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that God would open our mouths wide to proclaim his goodness, his glory, his mercy. One of the best ways of witnessing, that we might speak well of our Master. That we might be able to tell one and another of all that God has done for us. The psalmist could say in Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart, listen, and I will show forth all thy marvellous works. That's what I'm saying, you see. It's a wonderful form of testimony. I will praise the Lord, and in my praise of God, I'm showing forth, if you like, I'm showing off my Saviour. I'm able to speak of the great things that he has done for my soul. You speak as though you really believe it. Anybody ever said that to you? I can well remember an occasion when I was locked up for an hour and a half in Walton Jail in Liverpool. I hadn't committed any crime. I was leading a little Bible study there. And there were four or five very violent prisoners, and they allowed me to go and sit among them and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I remember to this day, just comes back to my mind again now, of one prisoner who said, you speak as if you do believe it. Well, in a sense, that really encouraged me. Oh, praise the Lord. Speak well of Christ. Be not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, that men, oh, that believers would gather in these days and praise the Lord. There's a people in the Bible by the name of the Gershonites. And we read of them in 1 Chronicles 23 verse 30. And I read this lovely verse. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. So they never were bored, you see, of praising God. Every morning, this tribe were known by this, that they were a praising people, and in the evening. You might say, well, surely once a day is enough. No, no, no. Morning and evening. In fact, if you want further proof of this, you could turn to Psalm 119 and verse 164. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. My, that makes our praising look pretty weak, doesn't it, some of us? Seven times a day. And then you turn over the pages again and you come to Psalm 145 verse 2. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name for ever and ever. In other words, dear friend, we have enough biblical proof here tonight, and in many other scriptures, where we are not only encouraged to praise God, but I dare to say we are commanded to praise the Lord. David's wonderful thanksgiving for the temple in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 13. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And then you turn over to 2 Chronicles 5 and verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, his mercy endureth forever, that then, when the people praised God, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not even stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. And I say, dear friend, I believe here is extra weight, extra authority for us to stress this point tonight, that when God finds a praising people, his church praising him, then he will bless that church in remarkable ways, and something of his glory will fill the church, and others will take note and be drawn into the company of the Lord's people as they see them not as a murmuring, complaining, bitter people, but a people who are praising the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. But further, dear friend, I believe that praising the Lord is our responsibility. We owe it to the Lord. Listen, Psalm 65 verse 1, Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion. That verse teaches us that praise is our due to God. He rightly deserves it. What can we bring him? What can we offer to him? Well, the fruit of our lips, which is even praise to our God. Isaac Watts says this, Praise ye the Lord, 'tis good to raise our hearts and voices in his praise, his nature and his works invite to make his duty our delight. It's good to raise. It is his right. And he waits for his people to praise him. Now there are many, many things, I trust, that you and I could list down for which we could praise the Lord. If I was to give out pencils and paper to each one of you and to myself and give us, say, 10 minutes to write down a list of the things that we can praise God for. I wonder how many, dear friend, you would write down. I wonder how many would, as it were, coincide, and we would agree. And I want to just raise a number of things, and many others, but I would put these things on my list, at least, so that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. First of all, dear friend, on my piece of paper, I would praise the Lord for his electing grace. Does that make sense to you? For his electing grace. As Paul says in Ephesians 1 verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now we could go on a long time this evening just speaking about election. What does it mean? People become mystified. Even some Christians quarrel over it, sad to say. Instead of praising the Lord, they're in dispute. And they shuffle off in their little camps. Oh, dear friend, listen. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Are you able to praise God tonight for his electing grace? According as he has chosen us, even before the foundation of the world. Get your mind around that. Even before the world was formed, even before the world was made, even before I was in my mother's womb, he knew me, he loved me. One version says, he actually picked me out for himself as his own. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We should be leaping for joy. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his electing grace. God not only chose by himself, but dear friend, he chose for himself that we might be to the praise of his glory. That's why I can identify with those words. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, for that could never be, hadst thou not first chosen me. Oh, it is a mystery. You come to me afterwards and say, I don't understand it. And I'll say to you, I don't understand it either. But I praise God for it. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Dear friend, chosen in him, even before the foundation of the world. And when you come to faith in Christ, if you're not a Christian, you say, I don't understand all this theology. Dear friend, the main thing is, come to Christ. Seek him tonight. And as you come by faith to Calvary's cross, you will see and discover if a true work of grace is done in your heart, and you will rejoice in this, that God loved you before you ever loved him. So I would praise the Lord. I would put that on the top of my praise list this evening. And then furthermore, I would praise the Lord for saving grace. Saving grace. Not only electing grace, but there was a happy day in my life when Jesus washed my sins away. Paul says in Ephesians 2 verse 5, for by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not even your faith, and that not of yourselves. It, electing, saving grace, it is the gift of God. So we can say with John Newton, amazing grace. It is, isn't it? It's worth praising God for. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. When we've been there 1,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. And then thirdly on my list, I would put down, praise him for assuring grace. Not only electing grace, not only saving grace, But I would praise him, and I do praise him. I trust that you do, as a Christian, that you constantly thank the Lord for assuring grace. For some dear folk who lack assurance of salvation. Who lack assurance of salvation. And you might be one of those dear folk. Oh, I trust that tonight, as it were, the scales will be removed. And if you are in Christ, you're in him for time and for eternity. Forever and forever. And that nothing, beloved, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's worth praising the Lord for, isn't it? That's why John's epistle at the end of the Bible is so important. That's why we recommend that those who seem to lack assurance, that they read and reread 1 John over and over again. And over that letter you could have these words as John speaks them, that you may know. That you may know with full assurance. You have an unction, says John, from the Holy One, and you know all things. That doesn't mean that you are super intelligent, but it means that you are rejoicing in the knowledge of the saving and keeping power of the Lord Jesus. Are you? Can you say, oh, praise the Lord tonight for that measure of assuring grace that he has granted to me? Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for assuring grace. It's a great subject, this subject of assurance. I was reading some time ago Thomas Brooks as he speaks of Christian assurance. Assurance, he says, is a believer's ark, where he sits Noah-like, quiet and still, in the midst of all distractions and destructions, commotions and confusions. Lovely picture, in the ark, being tossed about by the waves, and the gales are blowing, and the troubles and the strifes come, and the sorrows like sea billows roll, come over you, dear Christian friend. Are you still able to say, oh, praise the Lord? Praise the Lord for assuring grace. My spirit, my soul is sitting Noah-like, quiet in the storm. And then Brooks says, an assured soul lives in paradise, walks in paradise, works in paradise, rests in paradise. He has heaven within him, heaven about him, heaven over him. All his language is heaven, heaven, glory, glory. Oh, friend, I just wish I could express this more fully. A burning heart. Oh, that men, oh, that you, beloved child of God, would praise the Lord for assuring grace. I am his, and he is mine. In a love which cannot cease. And then fourthly on my list, I would put this fact, that I need to praise the Lord for securing grace. Securing grace. Remember how Paul puts it in that wonderful chapter, Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things, if God be for us? There's the security. If God be for us, who then shall be against us? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who is he that condemneth? Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? Dear friend, do you possess securing grace? Who shall separate us? Who shall condemn us? Isaac Watts You'll see I'm a fan of Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts says, Satan may vent his sharpest spite, and all his legions roar. Almighty mercy guards my life, and bounds his raging power. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that something to thank God for? You're facing the enemy. You might tonight know something of the roaring of the enemy and the legions that he controls. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for securing grace. Furthermore, I would put on my list, praise God for sustaining grace. I've just been thinking about these things. I haven't got them out of a book. It's just come to my mind that these are the sort of things that we ought to praise God for more often. Surely, dear friend, many of us ought to praise the Lord tonight for sustaining grace. Praising Him even through the fires of affliction. Some of you, dear people, may have passed through such times. You've lost a loved one. You've been smitten with a disease, an illness. The doctors told you perhaps you have an incurable disease. Are you still able to praise the Lord? That's the challenge that comes to all our hearts, preacher and people alike. Are we able to praise the Lord for sustaining grace through all the troubles and all the strife and all the storms? I love the account as we read it in Acts 16. And verse 25, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. That's sustaining grace. They were in prison, their backs bleeding from the whipping and the torture. They probably were in handcuffs and shackles. How can we praise God in such a time? I'll tell you. Sustaining grace. He has kept me all the day, all the way. Listen to the words of the psalmist in Psalm 3 verse 5. I cried unto the Lord, I laid me down and slept, for the Lord sustained me. And it wasn't easy for the psalmist. Don't think when he wrote that psalm that everything was shining bright and no problems, for he tells us, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves around me and against me. So he's up against it. But he was still able to praise the Lord for sustaining grace. I know Christian people, and I'm sure you do too, tonight, who are going through very severe fires of affliction. But they're shining, and they're testifying, and they're kept by the power of God. Every time I leave my friend Norman, a Christian minister in his nursing home, he always at the end grips my hand, and this is what he says, kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Sustaining grace. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. He's kept me, and he'll keep me all the days of my life. We're nearly done. It's a hot evening. But there's something else that I would put on my list to praise the Lord for. Praise for satisfying grace. Satisfying grace. What an area in which we so often fail, even as the Lord's people. We don't demonstrate to the unbeliever. We don't show to our neighbours that we are satisfied in Christ. Thou, O Christ, art all I want, more than all. In Thee I find. And so we read that wonderful psalm. Did someone not say to me this morning, had they read that psalm? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless and praise His holy name. Forget not all His benefits, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the evil. Oh, dear friend, bless the Lord at all times. Oh, that you and I may have that knowledge and that testimony of satisfying grace. And that will speak to others. Be quite sure of it. That will speak to others. In Jeremiah 31 we read verse 14. I will satiate, it's a strange word, I'll explain in a moment. I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people, says God, shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. The little word there, I will satiate, can literally be translated, I will satisfy fully. Alright? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. I am being satisfied, satiated, fully. And I want to thank the Lord. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. Unnumbered blessings give my spirit voice. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet thy tribute bring. Who like thee his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise with us the God of grace. And one more thing I would put on my list, many others, but I would praise him tonight for anticipatory grace. Anticipatory grace of that which is yet to come. That which is before me. If you're a child of God, if you've been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, listen. The psalmist says in Psalm 16 verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. As I whispered into the ear of a dear believer soon to pass from time to eternity, to be with Christ, which is far better. You agree with that? It's worth praising the Lord, isn't it? For anticipatory glory. There's a recent survey being done amongst dementia and Alzheimer's patients, a very sad and grievous disease. And that survey revealed, generally, that Christian believers were the most prepared and restful at the end. Now we can't say, well, this is just 100%, but generally, the survey revealed that it was Christian believers who at the very last were peaceful, calm, resting in the hope of future glory to be with Christ. I go to prepare a place for you. A place where Christian pilgrims are completely at home. I love that thought. Friend, have you got that assurance? If this were your last life upon earth, as we reminded our hearts this morning, if this were the last heartbeat that you were privileged to have you got that anticipation of glory? Oh, that men would praise the Lord. The best is yet to be. I want to tell you about a young mother and a young wife. She wasn't all that old. The 22nd of April 2008, she with her husband was visiting a certain place of worship that they loved to go to. They loved to go to that place of worship, though it was in the country, in a beautiful part of the land. They loved to go to that chapel as often as they could because of the preaching of the Word of God. And they knew that when they went to that chapel, their souls would be fed. All right? And then in the visitor's book, before they left that little chapel, our friend, the lady, wrote these words. Blessed memories of the grace of God preached from his wonderful word in this hallowed place. many, many years here together with the people of God, you see. She loved to be there. But soon, around that throne of grace, how we love him. And before the husband and wife and pastor and one or two others left the chapel, they sung the hymn, All Praise to Our Redeeming Lord. And the last verse goes like this, And if our fellowship below in Jesus be so sweet, what heights of rapture shall we know when round his throne we meet? Alright? And 4 days later, our dear sister was experiencing what she had sung in that chapel. When round his throne we meet. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, for a heart. You may not have been moved or challenged tonight. I can't do that. It's the work of the Spirit, you know. But I can close with this. Oh, for a heart to praise my God. A heart from sin set free. A heart that always feels the blood so freely shed for me. Let us pray. Open our mouths wide, O God, to show forth thy praise. Forgive us when we are slow to speak. Forgive us, Lord, when we excuse ourselves and say, we haven't got the courage to witness. Oh, that men, oh, that we, this coming week, if it please thee, would open our mouths wide to praise the Lord for his goodness, for his loving kindness, for his tender mercies, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well,